Today's daf is Nida daf Ayin. We are holding on daf Samach Tesam Beis. We're at the Mishnah on Samach Tesam Beis. Hazav Hazava Vanida Vayaledis VaMitzora. If any of these Tamei people, Zav Hazava Anida Yaledis VaMitzora, Shemesu, that dies, Mitamin B'masa Chiyimu Kabasa. They continue to be Mitamei B'masa. Their bodies are Mitamei B'masa until their flesh begins to decompose. Now, obviously, this is a very difficult line in the Mishnah to understand. The Rashi already points out, but Gemara Parach, Kol Meis Nami Mitamei B'masa. What's the Chiddush that these Tamei people that die, that their bodies are Mitamei B'masa? Every dead body is Mitamei B'masa. So Umeshaninan Be'evin Mitamei. So the Gemara is going to answer right off the bat that we're talking about a unique type of Tuma, of Evin Mitamei, that normally when it comes to Tumas Masa, Tumas Masa is not transmitted if there's an immobile stone on top of the Tahar item under the Tamei item. If the stone is so large that it could not be moved, so it's not considered that the Tahar item is really holding the Tamei item because there's this massive stone in between. So we're saying that, but a Zav is Mitamei Bevin Misamei, meaning if a Zav is on top of an immobile stone and there's a Dover Tahar underneath it, so then the Dover Tahar will become Tamei. So the Mishnah is being Mechad that tumma that a zav has, that a mace doesn't have, continues even after the zav dies, or the zav, or the nida, the yoledes, or the mitzora. That tumma that they have, that these tamei people have, that a normal mace would not have, that tumma would continue even after the person were to die. Ovid, next halacha of the Mishnah, Ovid kochavim shemeis tar milatamei. If a guy dies, he does not, he's not mitamei anymore. Beishamei amrum kol anashim meisos nidos. And the third halacha in the Mishnah, Beishamei says all women who die are treated like their nidos. We consider them to be nidos. Ubeisil amrum ein nida elashim meisos nida. Beisil says no, she is only considered to be a nida if she dies as a nida. So that last halacha we're not going to get to in today's daf. But let's see about the first part of the Mishnah. My b'masa. So what do we mean when we say that these five types of Tamei people, Zav, Zav, Anida, Yalad, Smitsora, that they're Mitamei B'masa when they die? What does it mean? Ilem B'masa Mamish, this is the Kasha Rashi promised us, the Gemara would ask. If you want to tell me that it means that they're literally Mitamei B'masa, Atu Kalmes Milo Mitamei B'masa, is every other dead body not Mitamei B'masa? Only people who are Tamei and then die are Mitamei B'masa? Everybody who dies is mitamei b'masa. Whether they're tamei or not, it's got nothing to do with being tamei. El b'mai b'masa be'evin misamei. So when we say masa, we must mean evin misamei. We must mean that it's not a normal case of something tar carrying something that's tamei, but something tahar that has a large stone on top of it, and on top of the stone is the tamei item. Dechsiv, because the pasuk says veheisayis even chado v'sumas alpul meguba. So and from there we learn the din of evin misamei. So my time, why are we going to give these dead bodies the tumah of evin misamei? Amarav gzeira shamiyas alpha, because we know that when a zav, let's say, is still alive, he's mitamei b'evin misamei. So when he's still alive, he's mitamei b'evin misamei. We make a gzeira that when he's dead, he should also be mitamei b'evin misamei, just in case he's still alive and we mistake him for a dead person. Meaning we think he's dead, but really he's alive. Maybe he passed out, he fainted, and we think he's dead, but really he's alive. So they made a gzeira that even after he's dead, should still be mitamei b'evin misamei. Tanu mishum Rabbi Lazar omer ad sheyibaka kreso. Rabbi Lazar says that's going to happen. He's still going to be mitamei b'evin misamei. Not like the Mishnah said, ad sheyimo kabasar, until his flesh begins to rot and to decompose. No, until his stomach caves in, which is something that happens to a dead body. Apparently, that a physical outward change in the build of his body that only happens to a dead person. That's what you have to wait for till you assume, okay, now he's definitely dead, and no one is going to confuse this for a live zav, and therefore it's no longer going to be mitamei be'evin misamei. Couple of quick points over here. Rashi writes over here, that an Evan noses a Seisha Tmeya, when describing Evan Mesame, then Evan carries a Tame woman, and the Chiddush is that even though the Evan can't be moved, nevertheless, there's still Tumas Masa. That's the Pasha Pshat, that's how we explained. Rashi over in Masech HaShabbos, Taf Pei Beis Amin Beis, says that the Evan Mesame is an Evan that's placed al Gabe Yesedos, that's placed on pegs, so it's lifted off the ground. And the Chiddush is that b'yoshvosh al ha'evan hu metame kelim shetachas ha'evan af she'ino noga'as behem, that when the Zav sits on the Evan, he's metame kelim that are underneath the Evan, even though the Evan's not touching the kelim. So Rashi over here assumes that no, the Evan is on top of the Tohar kelim and it's touching the Tohar kelim, it's resting on the Tohar kelim, and the Zav is on top of the Evan. And while the Zav is alive, he's metame the Tohar kelim on the bottom. And when he's dead, our mission is mechadish that he could still be metame the Tohar kelim on the bottom. But Rashi, Mesech Shabbos, seems to understand that the great Chiddush is that that the Torah Kalim are not touching the Evan at all. Good, so that's a seeming stira in Rashi. Another point, when the Gemara concludes by saying that Rabbi Eliezer holds Ad she yibaka kreso, that he's going to continue to be metame until yibaka kreso, that's disagreeing with the chacham in our Mishnah says Ad she yimakabasar. Now, what's the nekuda samachlokes? What are they arguing about? So Chassam Sofer explains that the chachamim in our Mishnah hold that it's ad she yimakabasar. They hold that the misa is considered a shvira, and things that are broken become tahar, right? When you break a kli cheres, it's mitahir a kli cheres. So the misa is considered a shvira, and the shvira is mitahir. But because of a gzeira that shemi yis aleph, so we're metaming him until yimuk habasar. But really, on a daraisa level, the misa alone would be enough to be mitahir because that's the shvira of the body. Whereas Rabbi Lazar holds misa is not a shvira, and therefore you need tibaka kreso in order for it to be considered shavur. You need something physically outwardly to change about the physical structure and makeup of the body in order for it to be considered shavur. Sounds like the way the Chassam Sofer explains it, that Rabbi Lazar holds that it's a din d'oraisa that he's still metame like a zav, that the zav is still a zav even after he dies. Ad shetibaka kreso. Sounds like he's arguing on the whole lamdas, the whole gemara, the whole concept that really once he's dead, he's no longer metame bevin mesame. It's just a gzeir d'rabban. He says no, he's still going to be metame bevin mesame up until the point that he has a shvira, that his body breaks down. The Aruch Lener says the Chum hold that the shir yimok habasar is nicker for someone who's omed mirachol, because nicker for someone could easily recognize it even from a distance. Whereas Rabbi Lazar holds it's only nicker at a distance when it's tibaka kreso. But everyone agrees that the halacha is that when there is a shvira of the guf that's nicker mirachol, that's when we're gonna no longer be goes there. Question is, when does that happen exactly? That's how the Aruch Lener explains the machlokas between the two sides. Vayitu in the Gemara now. So the second halach we had in the Mishnah was that obid kochavim shemes, that if a guy dies, so we said that his tar milatame, the dead non-Jewish dead body is not going to be metame. Says the Gemara Tanya, Amar Rebbe, neima amru obid kochavim shemes tar milatame masa. Why is it that when a non-Jew dies, that his body is not metame b'masa? Lefi she'in tumas because anyway, even when he's alive, his tumah is not a tumah d'oraisa. His tumah is only midrabanan. What tumah does a guy have? A guy, the chachamor goes there, that an chachamor has tumah zav, that we treat him like a zav. So once he dies, so he's not going to be metame at all, because even the tumah while he was alive was only tumah midrabanan. Period. Now the rest of the daf, the entire daf ayin, is going to relate to this brisa that we're quoting right now. Shneimasur dvarim shalu anshe Alexandria es Rabbi Shua ben Chinina. There are, or it changes it to Hanani on the side. There were 12 issues that the Anshe Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania. Gimel Divrei Chachma, three matters pertaining to Chachma, which Rashi says, I think over here, Divrei Chachma, Halacha. The Divrei Chachma means issues of Halacha. Gimel Divrei Agada, three matters pertaining to Agada. Gimel Divrei Boros, three matters of Boros, Rashi says, Shtus, silly things. and Gimel Divrei Derech Eretz, and three issues of Derech Eretz. And we're going to just discuss, I don't know if we can get through all 12 of them today, but the 12 things that the Anshei Alexandria. It is interesting that there were Anshei Alexandria, meaning apparently, and this has been true throughout history, even though there is an Isser in the Torah that we're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim, apparently there were Jews in Mitzrayim throughout the ages. And Anshei Alexandria, Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, presumably, and clearly from this Gemara, these people were Jews. They wouldn't be asking these detailed halakhic questions, probably, if they were they were not Jews. So that's a famous kasha, an old kasha, how we could have so many Jews, and great Jews, living in Mitzrayim. The Rambam signed his letters, the person who violates Nisa Daraisa every single day by living in Mitzrayim. That's how he used to sign his letters. He apparently felt somewhat guilty about it, but that doesn't answer the kasha. He lived in Mitzrayim, so there are a lot of terutzim that are given. Anyway, so these Anshei Alexandria asked 12 questions. The first three are highly technical halachic questions. That takes up the majority of the daf, and then it gets a little more labedic, a little more easier and lighter. Well, not lighter, because some philosophical questions, but more agadic in nature. So says Gemara, Gimel Divrei Chachma, the three Divrei Chachma questions. Number one, Hazava Hazava Vanida Ve'aledus Vamasor Shemesu and Masai Mitamin B'Masa. Question number one, and this is why this whole brayse is quoted over here, relates to our Mishnah. When a Zav Anida Yaledus Mitzora die, until when are they Mitamin Masa? Samalehen Achimo Kabasar. So his answer was, like our Mishnah says, not like Rabbi Lazar says, Achetibaka Kreso, but rather Achimo Kabasar, until the flesh begins to decompose, like it says in the Mishnah. Number two, halachic question number two that they ask. Bas mishulachas mahi lekohen. If a woman was divorced, and then the husband marries her back after, not just that, I skipped a step. A woman gets divorced, marries somebody else, then gets divorced from the second husband, and then the first husband takes her back, which is an Issur D'oraisa, even if you're not a Kohen. For a Kohen, it would be Asur to take her back, even if she doesn't marry somebody else, to Machzir Grusha, so a Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha, including his own Grusha. But for anybody else, you're allowed to be Machzir Grusha, so, but not once she married somebody else. So what if you have someone who took, Yisrael Rashi says, in the third to last line, Yisrael Shehech that a Yisrael is Machzir Grushaso after she already married someone else, Vaholid Bas, and they have a daughter. What's the status of that daughter? Is that daughter allowed to marry a Kohen? So what are the two sides? Mi Amrin or Kal V'Chomer, should we say the following Kal V'Chomer? Uma Alman El Kohen Gadol She'ini Surushav Bakol Bina Pagum. If an Almana marries a Kohen Gadol, where the Isser of Alman El Kohen Gadol in a certain sense is a lighter Isser than this Isser of Machzir Grushaso, because Alman El Kohen Gadol is not an Isser that pertains to everybody, it's to a very limited segment of the society, namely a Kohen Gadol. So nevertheless, we still say, even though it's such a limited Isser, the child is still going to be Pagum. So Zuz Shei Yisur HaShavu Bakal Ein Udin Shebina Pagum. So in this case, where the Isser of Machzir Grushaso Lachar Shenises applies to every Jew, Kohen and Yisrael alike, it's an Isser of Machzir Grushaso Lachar Shenises, for sure the child is going to be Pagum, and therefore that child should, that girl, that daughter should not be able to marry a Kohen. Oh, Dilmar, maybe no. Mala Alman al-Kohen Gadol, she atzma mischalelas. No, maybe Alman al-Kohen Gadol is a more serious Isser on a certain level, because she herself, the Almana herself, becomes mischalelas, meaning once she marries a Kohen Gadol, she's no longer allowed to marry a Kohen Hedyot anymore. Meaning, if even if the Kohen Gadol dies, she's still asked to marry a Kohen Hedyot. It made her a chalala by marrying the Kohen Gadol. So maybe that's a more serious Isser, and therefore we can't learn any sort of Kal V'Chomer. Now, what is the Isura Shava B'Kol of the Machzir Grushaso? So Rashi writes, second to last line, Zushe Isurashav Bakal Bi Yisrael Ubekohanim Asur Lachzir Grushaso Mishanises. That if one divorces his wife and she marries somebody else, and then that marriage ends, it's Asur for anybody, Yisrael and Kohen alike, to take her back. Rashash just points out that L'chora, the fact that it's Asur for the Kohen to take her back, is not the same Isur. It's not an isra of machzor grusha salacha shenises. It's a totally different isra. It's an isra of a kohen marrying grusha. Right? The fact that it's also to a kohen is not, but presumably the extra kedushas kuna would just mean that she's asura anyway before that isra has a chance to be chal. So it would still be considered isra shav bakal, since even a Yisrael is including this isra. The kohen is already also to anyway, so it's not even necessary to come onto this isra. So yeah, in Achinami, you won't have this isra because ain't isra chal al isra. You already have the isra of a grusha. So you're not going to have this additional isra of machzor grusha salacha. But it's hard to call it the same isser. The Rashash points out it's not exactly the same isser. So anyway, so that's the shaila. What's the halacha of this girl that's the product of a marriage of a machzor grusha salacha shenises? So Amar Lahen, he toeva vein banat toeven. Said by machzor grusha, so the Torah says ki toeva he. There are a few places, lots of places in the Torah where the Torah uses such strong terminology of toeva. But this is one of them, one of the lesser known ones. Everyone thinks it's only by Mishkav Zachar. That's one of the examples in the Torah where the Torah says Toeva. So this is considered a Toeva. He Toeva, Ve'in Baneh Toevin. She's a Toeva, but we darshan, since it says he, that it's Dafka her, Ki Toeva, he. Dafka her, but her children are not going to be a Toeva. Tosfos already raises the kasha, why do I need this drasha? Once there's a pircha on the Kal V'chomer, so that Malakoy and Gadol, Shehi Atzma Mischalelas, so Mela, there's no way to learn the din, meaning we wanted to learn a din that that there should be a Kal V'chomer, that Al Malakoy and Gadol, the Bna is Pagum, so over here also, the child should be Pagum Aser to Koin. Absent the drasha telling me the child should be Aser, I don't have any reason to assume the child should be Aser. Things are mutter until proven Aser. So what was the whole reason we wanted to say Aser, a Kal V'chomer, but there, we already said there's a Pircha on the Kal V'chomer. So why do I need a drasha in the other direction to say definitively that the child is kosher? The child is kosher because I have no Pircha on the Kal V'chomer, because I have a Pircha on the Kal V'chomer, I have no Kal V'chomer to tell me that the child shouldn't be kosher. Okay, so that's a good kasha. Tosu says a couple of terutzim. Fine. Says the Gemara Vayter. Third question that they asked relating to Tahalacha, and this will take the rest of Amud Aleph. Shnei mitzara'in shenis avru karbonos sein zeh b'zeh. Let's say you have two mitzara'in, two people who have tzara'as, whose karbonos get mixed with each other. V'kar of karbonos shel echad mehen, and one of the karbonos was already brought. U'meis echad mehen, and then one of the mitzara'in, we don't know which one, the one whose karbon was brought, or the one whose karbon wasn't brought because their karbonos were mixed up, one of them dies. Hasheni matei elav. What does the second one do? How does he take care of this problem? Is there any way that he could bring his karbon? Is there any way that he can get out of his tumas tzara'as? Rashi points out the dilemma, elaborates on exactly what the dilemma is over here. Heich yitar l'kachim. How can this mitzora ever be allowed to eat kachim again? She'ilu hayu mitzora chaveru chai. If the other mitzora were alive and their karbonos got mixed up with each other, afal pishin esarvu karbonos sayin, it would not be a problem, because zayik of the shem mihu, v'zayik of the shem mishahu. All they would do is they would be marked with the karbon for whoever is the owner of the karbon, and they'd be able to be marked with both karbonos that way. It would be no problem, as long as both guys were still alive. Similarly, if both karbonos, neither karbon had yet been brought, and one of the mitzorayim died, we also wouldn't have had a problem. All we would do is wait for the animals that were designated as karbonos to die, and then this guy he's a guy whose karbon died, who's allowed to bring another animal instead for his karbon. So we just wait for the animals to die, and the surviving man would bring a new karbon. So that would, either issue on its own, Rashi points out, would not be a problem. Having the karbonos confused for each other, or having one person die, on its own would not be a problem. The problem is when you have both. The karbonos were confused for each other, and one person died. Aval achshav einu yochel akrav hazeh shemesh al meisu. He can't bring the remaining karbon, because that remaining karbon may belong to the dead guy. Vavichata shemesu baleh, and it's a chata shemesu baleh, which can't be makriv. V'karbon achar nami einu yochel lahavi, and he can't just bring another karbon, shema oso shekarav hayeshalo. He can't just wait for this live animal to die and bring another karbon, because it may maybe he already brought his carbon. Maybe the one that was brought was his. V'niftar v'nimtza maybe chul nazara, and he's potter from bringing another carbon, and he's going to bring chul nazara by bringing another carbon. V'enu yachla hasnos b'nedava shein chatos ba'nedava, and he can't make a tanai because the carbon chatos can't be brought as a nedava. So there's no tanai to make. What if I'm not chayiv? If this isn't my carbon, then what? They can't become a nedava. So that's why he really stuck. So that's the cash over here. What does one do in this situation? So he says a simple answer. Here's what you do. Have him write all of his have him write a shtar that he's giving a shtar matana, all of his possessions to another person, and then he'll become an ani. And the halacha is an ani is maybe chatas ha'of. Maybe chatas ha'ov ha'bal ha'safek, and a chatas ha'ov could be bal ha'safek. A chatas behema cannot be bal ha'safek, so there's nothing you could do. But an oaf you could bring even misafek, so then he'll be able to bring chatas ha'ov because it's an olive yored. He's chayiv only an oaf if he's poor. If he's rich, he can't get away with an oaf. So it's an olive yored. He'll make himself poor and be chayiv only an oaf, and that way he'll solve his problem. So great solution. Asks Rav Elchanan Wasserman in Kovitz Shiurim. Mesechus Ksubas in Os Shin Chav Gimel. Why is he asking this in Mesechus Ksubas? This is a sugya nida. This doesn't appear in Mesechus Ksubas because you have to hear his kasha. His kasha is as follows. There is a Gemara in Mesechus Ksubas that tells us Hamavazvez Al Yavazvez Yosu Michomesh, that when a person wants to spend money on a given mitzvah, tzedakah primarily is Takanas Usha about tzedakah, but really any mitzvah, the halacha is that a person is permitted to spend up until 20% of his money, but he's not permitted to spend more than 20% of his money in order to perform a mitzvah saseh. The Gemara says Shema Ye Ani, because we're afraid the person is going to become poor, vid starich labrios, and then he's going to need to accept tzedakah from other people. So asks Rav Elchanan, how could we make such a suggestion that this guy has to go make himself poor, give away all of his nechasim for what? So he could do this mitzvah of going to bring the karban for a mitzvah you're not supposed to be mevazvez yosu michamash. So that's Rav Elchanan's kasha. So he says, no, he doesn't have to do this. We're saying if he wants to do this, he's permitted to do this. Meaning he wants to be able to eat kachim again at some point in his life. He wants to take care of his mitzvah obligations. So he's looking for an eitzah. So this is an eitzah of how he could do that. Says Rav Elchanan, the problem is that Amavaziz Ali Vaziz Yosem Michomesh sounds like it's not an option, that it's usur to spend more than 20% of your money. Now, Rishonim already point out, the Chavetz Chaim quotes in Avas Chesed, that if a person is an Ashir Muflag, so he's allowed to spend more than a Chomesh, but even that wouldn't work over here. Because the reason someone who's a billionaire is allowed to give more than a Chomesh Nechasav to Tzedakah, is because we assume that if someone's worth $1 billion and he gives, let's say, 50% of his money to Tzedakah, he probably still won't be ye'ani v'yitztarich lebrios. He'll probably will still find a way to put food on his table when he's worth $500 million. But over here we're saying not that he should give 50% or 60%. We're saying he should give everything. That he should become an ani. And the whole issur is that you're not allowed to become an ani because then you're going to be mitztarich lebrios. So it's usur to give that much. Now the truth is there are achronim that understand that hamvaziz ali vaz. Is not an Isser, that it's only an Eitzah Tova, that it's saying, Shema Ye'ani, don't be silly, don't be foolish, don't put yourself in a position where you're going to become a poor person, but maybe that it's not an Isser. That's how the Tshuva Me'ava in Chelek Beisim Reish Behei says that it's only an Eitzah Tova. In fact, the Rambam implies that way in Erech and Perches Halacha Yud Gimel, and in the Perish of Mishnayis at the beginning of Maseches Peah, but nevertheless, the majority of Rishonim and Achronim understand that it's an Isser. So what's Pshat over here? How could we require the person to give up all of his money? So the Achronim come up with a number of suggestions. Rav Elchanan says maybe we're saying give it as a matan al menas ha'achzir. If you give it as a matan al menas ha'achzir, there's no concern that you're really going to be poor long term because the guy's going to have to give it back to you. But it will solve the problem in that it will make you poor short term, so that you'll then be able to bring only the chatas ha'ov and you won't have to bring a behema. The Tiferes Yisrael says you give it la'ohavo o lekrovo. You give it to someone someone who you get along with. Why does Tiferes Yisrael say that? What motivated the Tiferes Yisrael to say that? He wasn't bothered by Rav Chanan's kasha, but his approach solves Rav Chanan's kasha. He was bothered by a different issue. The Chassam Sofer asked a different kasha. Why are we saying kosev nechasav lachem? Don't you have a simpler solution? Why aren't you just mafkir everything? Just make everything efker. When you make everything efker, so then you'll be poor that way. Why do you have to write a shtar where you give it to somebody else? So the Tiferes Yisrael says, no, it's an Eitzah Tova. If you mafkir something, other people can come and claim it, and then you might actually lose it. So we're giving an Eitzah Tova. Find someone you trust, you like, someone who's a relative maybe, someone who you know that is going to make sure that you get everything back and sign it over to him as a matana amanas lahachzir. So once you do that, then you'll solve all the problems and you won't have to worry about being poor. The Tzafnas Paneach says answers that kasha the Chassam Sofer differently. He says, no, you can't be mafkir, because if you're mafkir, it's not going to make you an ani to be chayiv al nechat ha'sof, since it's biyada lezakos. When you're mafkir, if you always have the ability to acquire it again, to reacquire it, so maybe that's not good enough. So maybe that wouldn't qualify you as an ani who would only have to bring chata sa'of because you have access to all that money. So even if it's not technically yours anymore, if you have access to all that money to be able to bring a behema, we don't let you off the hook from bringing a behema unless you don't have access to the money. But you have easy access to the money without falling into debt. You can just take the money. So that's how the Tzafnas Paneach al Torah in Parshas Metzorah suggests why we don't say that he should just be mafkir's nechasim. Fine. So anyway, back in our Gemara. So what were we saying over here? The Shaila was about a Metzorah, two Metzoraitim whose Karbonos get mixed in with each other, and one of the Karbonos was brought, and one of the Metzoraitim dies. So what do you do? So we said, okay, simple. Let him make himself chayiv only chata sa'of, habal asafek, and that will solve the problem, and then he'll be able to bring a chata sa'of misafek. The Gemara, that's great for the chatas, but a mitzvah doesn't only bring a chatas. Vayika asham, a mitzvah has to bring carbon asham also. Samar shmuel, kisha karav ashamo. Okay, we're talking about a case where he already brought his carbon asham, and therefore you don't have to worry about the asham. So one second. He brought his carbon asham while he still had money, while his friend was still alive, while the animals weren't yet mixed up, whatever it was. He brought his carbon asham a while ago. And now this problem arises. When the Asham was brought, the problem wasn't here yet. But now the other guy died, and now they have an issue. He doesn't know which Chatos is, whether the Chatos that was brought was his or the other guy's. So now the problem arises. Frek the Gemara, wait a second. How do we determine whether a person is... So what are we suggesting he should do? He should make himself poor, and then he'll have to bring a lesser Chatos. How do we determine whether he brings a lesser chatas or a higher chatas, whether he brings an oaf or a behema? We determine based on his economic status. When? His economic status when he became a mitzora? His economic status when he's actually bringing the chatas? So says the Gemara, it's not going to work over here. Amar Rav Sheshes, Gavar Rabbik Shmuel, Lema Kiyai Milsa? Gavar Rabbi like Shmuel is saying something so wrong? Kiman, who do you think we're going like? Asham Kava. That's the key line, that Asham is Kaveya. If you assume that we look at his financial status, we look at how much money he has in the bank at the time that he brings his carbon Asham, so what's it going to help now, after he already brought his carbon Asham, to write over all of his Nechasim to somebody else and become poor? It's too late. At the time that he brought his carbon Asham, he was rich. And if he was rich at the time he brought his carbon Asham, he's not going to be able to get away with the Chatas Ha'of. He's going to have to bring a Behema. So our whole Eitzah won't work. How could he say we're talking about a case where he brought a carbon asham? If he already brought a carbon asham, the whole eitz is not going to work like Rabbi Yehuda. V'kiven the kavala asham ba'ashirus lo matzi ma'isi chatos bedalus. Once he already brought the carbon asham ba'ashirus, he can't bring the chatos bedalus. He can't bring the chatos like a poor man. How do we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds that way? Ditnan. The Mishnah tells us mitzora shevi carbon ani v'heshir. Oh, Ashir Vahani, Hakol Holech Chatas Div Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says we follow Chatas. Whatever your financial status is at the time that you bring the carbon Chatas, that's going to determine what type of Chatas you bring. Good, that's Rabbi Shimon. But for Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hakol Holech Achar Asham. Rabbi Yehuda says it all depends on when you brought the carbon Asham. So if you brought the carbon Asham Bashirus, it's going to be too late to be Mizaka Yer Nechasim to somebody else to solve the issue of the carbon Chatas. Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov Omer, Hakol Holech Achar Tziporim. A wild cheater. Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov says totally different. He says we go after the Tziporim. What are the Tziporim? So Rashi says the Shtei Tziporim Chayos Tahoros, that the Kohen was Metar, the Mitzvah with 7 days before the Tiklachas of the Mitzvah. They're not a carbon at all. And that's the same for an Asher and an Ani. It all depends on a week before, a week earlier. If at that time he was an Asher and an Ani, that's when we're Koveya, the din of his carbonos. And Rashi points out that it's a sugya in Maseches Krisus where the Gemara shows the psukim that each of these three shitos are based on. So essentially what we're saying is, if you're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, it's a non-starter. You can't assume like Rabbi Yehuda. How can you assume that the guy is going to, already brought his carbon asham, and yet he's still going to be able to bring Chatos of Bedalus by being mafkir as nechasim or by being mezakir as nechasim to other people? It's too late. When he brought his carbon asham, he was an asher. Okay, good, but that's why there were two other opinions. So why don't we assume we're going like, well, obviously Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is not going to work either, because he was already nikva a week earlier, so that's going to be a problem also. But why don't we just say we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon, that it all depends on what your financial status is at the time that you bring the chatas. V'ikar Rabbi Shimon, damar chatas kava, afal gav delo karavasham, nesi acher, da hashamina leil Rabbi Shimon, damar laisi v'lisni. No, but according to Rabbi Shimon, we have a simpler solution. Rabbi Shimon happens to hold that you could just make it tonight, that you could bring another carbon and make it tonight. He's not worried about the problem of chulin ba'azara, that you're going to bring, that it's not brought as a nedava. And right, if you look at Rashi, v'ikar Rabbi Shimon, damar asham lo kava, v'ilka chafilu hikar v'asham k'shu asher, yachal avi chatas ani, lam leil shmon luk mi k'shakar v'asham k'shu asher. Why do you have to say that he brought his carbon asher when he was an asher? Yachal avi chatas ani, afil lo karav nami, ika takanta ba'asham nasui asham ibeso, v'lomar, im carbon shakar v'shal chaveri, areza shalivim shali, areza l'shlamim. The Rabbi Shimon holds, you can make it tonight in the carbon asham. So we don't have to say we're talking about a case where you already brought your carbon asham. Just make it tonight in the carbon asham, according to Rabbi Shimon. So the whole solution's unnecessary, according to Rabbi Shimon. Did Tanya, like the Brisa says, Am Rabbi Shimon l'machras mevi ashamo v'lugo imo umamido b'shar nikanar. The Rabbi Shimon says that by a suffik mitzora, he should, the day after his tevila, he should bring his carbon asham with his with the log of yayin that he has to, of shemen that he has to bring, and he brings to shar nikanar masnulav, and he makes it tonight. V'omer im mitzora hu harei ashamo v'lugo imo. He says, if I'm mitzora, so here's my carbon. V'im lav, and if I'm not a mitzora, because I'm already covered, asham ze yehi shalmi nedava, v'osa asham ton shkitaso b'tzafan b'tan matanas b'honos usmicho nesachim, and he goes through all the chumras of both karbanos. You would treat it with the chumras of an ashram, the chumras of a shlamim, because it could be either one. We don't know what it is. And that was Rabbi Shimon's idea. And the Chacham didn't like that idea. The Chacham did not agree to Rabbi Shimon on that approach. Because a karban shlamim can be eaten for 2 days and one night, but a carbon ashram can only be eaten for 1 day and one night. So by giving it all the chumras of a shlamim and an ashram, you're limiting the amount of time that it could be eaten during, and therefore you're creating a situation of nosar, and we don't like to do that, the Chum say. We never like to minimize the amount of time during which a carbon can be eaten, and therefore the Chum don't like Rabbi Shimon Zaitza. But bottom line is, we're left with a kasha now. Shmuel came up with this solution that what are you going to do about the guy's asham when it was two mitzvahim and one of them died and the carbon of one of them was brought, and we don't know whose carbon was brought. So Shmuel came up with the etza, for the asham you could for the chatas just be mafkir's nechasim, and for the asham we're talking about that he already was makar of the asham. Well, no, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he was already makar of the asham, then being makar of the nechasim won't work. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't need the idea that he was already makar of the asham. So it's a kasha. So it says, Shmuel savor lo k'Rabbi Shimon b'chada u'pal galei b'chada. Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Shimon on one issue and disagrees with him on the other issue. Meaning, he agrees with Rabbi Shimon that it's nikva based on when you bring your chatas, that whether you're an asher or an ani is determined based on the moment you bring the chatas, not based on when you brought the asham. But he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon in regards to bringing al tanai. He agrees with the chachamim on the other issue, that you're not allowed to bring the carbon asham al tanai, that it might be a shlamim and just go with the chumras of both. And therefore he needs to say that it's already kvar karav ashamah, that you already brought the carbon asham. Interestingly, the Rambam in Mechus Kippur in Parakei Halacha Tes paskins like Rabbi Yehuda that the Asham is Koveya, the Shas Havas HaAsham is Koveya, whether you're an Ashir or an Ani, it's Koveya what the status of the person is. Lech Mishnah wonders, why would he paskin like that? Even though generally speaking we have a klal that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halach, Rabbi Yehuda, but over here Shmuel clearly paskins like Rabbi Shimon. So if the later Amoraim were paskining like Rabbi Shimon, so then the Ram should paskin like Rabbi Shimon also. But either way, the Ram paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, not Machlokes, and yet the Rambam also paskins the Brisa of Shnei Mitzorayim Shenisarvu Karbonoseihem. The Rambam paskins exactly what the Brisa says, that the two Mitzorayim, that their Karbonos get mixed up with each other, he should be Mafkir's Nechasim, etc. So the Kesef Mishnah wonders that the Gemara says the Takana, the Brisa, to be Kosev Nechasim L'Acherim is only after he was already Makrav his Asham, and only assuming like Rabbi Shimon that the Asham is not the Koveya. But the Rambam says that the Asham is the Koveya. So how you can make any sense of the Brisa? The Brisa only works if you assume that the Asham is not the Koveya and Kvar Karav Ashamo, and yet the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda and paskins the Brisa. So says the Lech Mishnah also wonders, why doesn't the Rambam mention this tonight that Kvar Karav Ashamo? He doesn't even mention it, that it has to be Dafka a case, that it's Kvar Karav Ashamo like the Gemara says. So the Achronim are Metarits, Lech Mishnah, the Chacham Spesal, that the Rambam is Lushitaso, that the Rambam holds the Asham is not Ma'akev. That ain't a chinami. There is no solution for the Asham, but that's okay. The Asham is not Ma'akev in the first place. Some sofers mitarits that the Rambam holds that it's mutter to be makriv in order to avoid the Isser Kares, What Isser Kares are you avoiding? Not bringing Korban Pesach. Meaning, if you never mitari yourself, you're not going to be able to bring Korban Pesach. So it's mutter to violate the lesser Avera in order not to be in violation, in order not to be Chayiv Kares. Okay, let's see the next quick grouping of questions. So that was the hard part of the 12 questions that the Anshe Alexandria asked. Shlosha Divrei Agada. Then they moved on to ask three issues of Agada. First Agada question. Kasvech Romer Kilo Echbos Mosameis V'Kasvech Romer Kichafetz Hashem La'Misam. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not interested in people dying. And on the other hand, it says Hashem wants them to die. So Kan Bosin Tshuva, Kan B'Shein Osin Tshuva. So the Nafkin difference is, if they did Tshuva, they didn't do Tshuva, so whether Hashem wants them to die or not. Second question. Kasvech Romer Kilo Yisapanim V'Lo Yikach Shochad. One pasuk says that Hashem does not show favoritism, doesn't take any bribes. V'Kasvech Romer Yisa Hashem Panavelecha, that Hashem is Yisapanim, that Hashem does show favoritism to Klal Yisrael. Answers the Gemara, Kan Kodem Gzar Din, Kan Liachar Gzar Din. One is before the Gzar Din, one is after the Gzar Din is already done. That before the Gzar Din, there's no Hester Panim of the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still Yisapanim. After the Gemar Din, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't show favoritism anymore. Third kasha, Kasvech Romer Kibachra Hashem B'Tzion. Day after Tisha B'Av, we should learn Kibachra Hashem B'Tzion. Hashem chooses Tzion. Kasvech Romer Ki Al Api V'Al Chamasi Haisa Irazos L'Menei Yom Asher Banu Asa Ada Yom Azeh. That Hashem's anger is against this city. So Kan Kodem Shnos Hashlom Es Bas Paro, Kan Lach Shnos Hashlom Es Bas Paro. One is before God was angered by Shlomo marrying Bas Paro. One is after God was angered by Shlomo marrying Bas Paro. On that second question of Yisapanim, there is a Gemara in Brachos that seems to deal with this question in a completely different way, in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that seems to deal with it in a different way. Maybe we'll start with that tomorrow, if I remember.